Next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle, it's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. There are indications of a possible break in the Arab oil embargo. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS radio network. The Wall Street Journal reports in its Wednesday edition that at least one U.S. oil company has been told it can expect a cargo of Saudi Arabian oil by late February. The company reportedly has a long-term contract with Saudi Arabia, but has been unable to get delivery of any of the oil since the embargo was imposed last October. The Journal reports the company has been notified that Saudi Arabian oil is available for shipment to a European port at some time in February, with no apparent strings on what becomes of the oil after it is delivered in Europe. Industry sources speculate that either Saudi Arabia is overstocked with crude oil, or the embargo will soon end officially, and Saudi Arabia is just making arrangements to get the oil flowing again. CBS News continues after this.
Ah, man, I feel like I put up this whole 32nd floor by myself.
Yeah, you ain't alone. Hey, let's see what I got for lunch here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Evelyn did it again. I'd rather eat a rivet. What are you eating, Sam?
Let me see. Cheese and tomato, a few potato chips, and some prunes.
Prunes?
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now quite a few are finding out how good they really are. They're a great natural source of quick energy. And pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. What's more, prunes are loaded with iron, something you gals will be interested in knowing. And they have more niacin and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits.
Prunes! Where are you going, Sam?
To eat my lunch on a higher level, Bertram, that's where.
California prunes. The funny fruit that does so much for you.
President Nixon will make his State of the Union address Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Aides said the address, to be broadcast nationally, will be a crucial speech in which the president will seek to show Congress and the country that he can govern in spite of the pressures of Watergate. Republican Congressman Howard Robinson of New York says he will not seek re-election this year because of disappointment with the Nixon administration.
You've got the polarized viewpoints in my district about 20% perhaps who wouldn't believe Nixon, no matter what he's told them, and maybe 20% on the other side who think he should be defended and supported because he is the president, with the rest of the people somewhere in the middle saying, if you, Mr. Congressman, don't know what to do in this regard, then God help us who does.
New York Congressman Howard Robinson. Mr. Nixon's legal staff is faced with an historic request, acting on the urging of former aide John Ehrlichman's lawyers. A Los Angeles judge says he will sign a subpoena calling the president as a material witness in a case against Ehrlichman. It is the first known time that the president of the United States has ever been asked to testify in a court trial. Aides to Mr. Nixon say he will probably decline to accept the subpoena, but that a statement will be issued later. Ehrlichman is charged in connection with a break-in at the office of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. United Press International reports that H.R. Haldeman may go before a Watergate grand jury Wednesday morning. It is expected that Haldeman will be questioned about the presidential tapes, many of which he had access to both before and after he left the White House. In San Francisco, police are still searching for what is believed to be a team of black gunmen who killed 4 whites at random and wounded a 5th person. The shootings occurred Monday night and early Tuesday morning. More news after this.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you. He's touched you with his love and with his truth. Don't look any further. You want his proof.
His hand in your hand, a communion, a truce of violence. It can come true in your life. The community of God. Make it your way. This message is brought to you by Religion and American Life.
Hands in your hand, your hand in my hand. Can you hear the music sing?
The commissioner of the Social Security Administration, James Caldwell, says he expects heavy crowds next month at some big city Social Security offices because people will not have received their checks. As of January 1st, the Social Security Administration took over the federal welfare system for the needy, aged, blind, and disabled. About 95% of the people receive their checks from the federal government, but Caldwell admits that at the start of the program, it was marred by problems involving drug addicts and crowds at Social Security offices in several cities. Commissioner Caldwell says February will be the test month to see if the new system can really work. Former Attorney General Elliot Richardson says he might run for the presidency in 1976, but quickly adds, "I wouldn't rate it as a great possibility." I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. And the weather outlook for the KIXI listening area. Windy with occasional rain tonight. Winds and rain diminishing tomorrow, but rain increasing again tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs near 50 and the lows in the low 40s. Currently it's 47 degrees with winds out of the south at 15 miles per hour and higher gusts. The barometer is rising. It reads 29.72. For you travelers on the passes, Snoqualmie Pass, compact snow and slush, Stevens Pass, snowing and blowing with poor visibility, chains or studded tires are required. From Scenic, and chains or studded tires recommended westbound from Ray Rock. And a basketball score you might be interested in the NBA, the Seattle Supersonics defeated Houston 115-107. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I am E.G. Marshall, and I have a ghost story to tell you, but a most unusual ghost story, since it violates all the established rules. You know the rules for a ghost story. It must be set on some desolate, windswept moor, or perhaps in a ruined, isolated mansion, or a lonely, deserted castle. However, this spine-tingling tale actually takes place in a modern luxury high-rise apartment building. And in broad daylight.
I don't want to die, George. Please. I don't want to die.
Margaret, darling, listen to me.
No!
Margaret, it would be better.
Better for who?
For you, dear, for you.
I have very little left, George. Please, just let me live a little longer.
Margaret, life means nothing to you now.
I know, but just let me live a little bit longer.
I can't, Margaret. I can't.
Our mystery drama, The Man Who Heard Voices, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up.
Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just cause.
Just cause why, honey?
Just cause Darla said some evil things about it. That's just cause why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, Sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Who do I believe? Darla or my taste buds?
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it's got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too?
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right,
Mom. Right, indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
We hope you're enjoying our new CBS Mystery Theater. It's another addition to our KIXI programming we're very proud of. We've made quite a few additions in the past year. For instance, we've added 1,000 people to our news team. People like Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, Wynne Elliott, Douglas Edwards, Mike Wallace. Just six of the more than 1,000 CBS reporters who help make KIXI Seattle's number one news service. And in the morning, we provide the only 90-minute news service in the area, 7 to 8:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. The complete CBS news team, plus Seattle's best local coverage and up-to-the-second traffic reports. This is Dean Smith. Join me and Bob Little, Ken Stewart, Clarence McDaniels, Norm Barbro, Gary Jeanette, plus Chet Huntley, Charles Osgood, and the CBS News team for Seattle's best news coverage. 90 minutes of news each day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KIXI 91 a.m., 96 FM, where the listeners are.
At 42, George Wesley Sanderson is handsome, intelligent, and wealthy. He is married to a most beautiful woman. He is a partner in a prestigious law firm. He has a host of friends because he is gracious, considerate, sensitive, and obliging. And so, you look at him sipping his morning coffee in his luxurious apartment in New York City, and you say to yourself, here indeed is one of fortune's favorites. How wonderful life must be for George Wesley Sanderson. But we have invaded his privacy. We have caught him alone and off guard. And so we see a look of terror in his eyes. And no wonder, because George Wesley Sanderson hears a voice. A woman's voice.
It's time for my pills, George.
The voice is clear and distinct.
May I have my pills, George?
But George is alone in the room.
My pills? George?
Not only is George Wesley Sanderson alone in the room, but the voice belongs to a woman 10 years dead.
Margaret. Margaret.
George, you must give me my pills.
Oh, no, no, no.
George.
On the 10 o'clock plane and come down. Georgie? Georgie, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Sally.
We all decided that you should be down here.
Well,
Well, you what? Are you all right, George?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good. Get on the plane.
Well, darling, somebody has to work.
Oh, come on. That silly place runs itself.
Goodbye, dear.
Georgie, are you sure you're all right?
Yes, I'm fine, and, really, I have to get to the office.
I notice you'd rather get to the office than fly to me.
Darling, it's not what I'd rather do. It's what I have to do.
My next husband will be a man with absolutely no ethics at all. Goodbye.
My name, as you know, is George Wesley Sanderson. And I must talk to somebody, unburden myself, but there is nobody. Oh, my wife loves me. My father-in-law is most understanding. I have good friends. I could confess to a priest, visit a psychiatrist. But you see, each in his own way would fail me because no one would accept the basic point of my problem. No one would ever believe that I'm a man who hears voices. There are times when I can hear what people think, what they're going to think. And there are times when I can hear people who are miles away or even dead. It started, 15 years ago. I was married to my first wife then. Her name was Margaret. She was 23 years old, vivacious, active, loved sports. She could even beat me in tennis, but she did it with such charm, I didn't mind it a bit.
That's out!
Oh, that looked into me!
Okay! If you want the point, you can have the point. You should have a handicap anyhow.
Okay! Just look out for this ace. Ha, an ace. How'd you like that, huh? I say, how'd you like that? Margaret? Margaret, is something wrong?
No. I'm fine.
Well, you had a funny look on your face.
Did I? It's just...
Just what?
Nothing, nothing. I just had a funny little twinge in my back. But it's gone now. Your serve.
Then and there, I heard a voice. It was the voice of our doctor.
You both should know the truth. We don't know what's wrong with Margaret. She won't be able to walk. She'll have to stay in bed. For a while, anyway. These pills will keep her alive.
Exactly 1 year later, the doctor spoke those very words to us in the hospital.
Sent for me, Mr. Cartwright?
Yes, George, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
George, I read your brief on the Hollingsworth case. Brilliant. Is that what you'd like to specialize in? Criminal law?
Yes, sir.
Good. This firm could use a crackerjack trial lawyer. Let's have dinner one night this week and start making some plans for you.
Well, sir, I really can't go out much at night.
You know?
No, you see, My wife is bedridden.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
We don't even know what it is. One of those mysterious ailments. Anyhow, she has to have constant attention. I have a woman who stays with her during the day, but at night, I can't leave her alone.
Hmm. Well, that's too bad. We'll arrange for lunch, perhaps.
And I heard his voice. His silent voice. But to me, it was crystal clear.
That's all for now, George. I just wanted to let you know how pleased I am with your work. And the other partners are, too.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hi, Dad. Your secretary said you were busy, but I'll only be a minute. Well, hello. Who is this?
This is one of our new young attorneys, George Wesley Sanderson, and my daughter, Sally. How do you do?
George Wesley Sanderson. Even sounds like a great lawyer.
Now, dear, save that ravishing smile for where it'll do you some good. George Sanderson is a married man.
And once again, I heard a voice. Sally's voice.
I don't care if he is married. I want him. I never believed it, but now I know it's absolutely true. There is such a thing as love at first sight. I love him.
Thank you, dear. But I don't want any more. It's time for my pill.
Oh, yes, so it is. I'll get it for you.
Those pills, they're like a lifeline.
Well, let's be thankful they work.
Oh, poor George. You've become a full-time nurse. And in addition, you've got a full-time job. You really don't get much sleep, darling. You have to set an alarm every 2 hours to give me my pill.
Darling, we stood up together and we took a vow for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and health.
Till death do us part.
Let's change the subject, huh?
Okay. Well, how'd it go at work today?
Oh, everybody flipped for the way I handled the Hollingsworth case.
Oh, will it mean a promotion?
Well, maybe, but more important is the additional money.
Oh, George.
Now what?
If you become important, we'll be expected to entertain.
Oh, no, nothing of the sort. I'm going to run my business the way I want. I intend to do my work during the day, in the office. I don't have to socialize with people. Merit, ability, that's what should count. And for the third time that day, I heard a voice. This time, Margaret's.
Oh, Lord. I want to live. I'm not much use. I can't do a thing. I'm a drag on the man I love. I'm I want to live.
And we have a clear precedent here. When Theodore Roosevelt was police commissioner of the city of New York, the question of injury incurred while making a citizen's arrest...
Do you always talk to yourself?
Oh, I happen to be dictating into this recorder. How did you get in here?
Being the boss's daughter ought to give a girl certain privileges.
I came by hoping you might have pity on me.
Pity?
I'm famished. You might take me to lunch.
Well,
what? It wouldn't hurt you with the chief. Might even pave the way to a promotion.
Well, on the other hand, it might backfire.
How?
Well, how does your father regard married male employees who take his daughter to lunch?
I don't know. It's never happened before. As you legal types might say, there are no precedents. Come on. Take a chance. Live dangerously.
I'll get my hat.
Darling, I'm sorry. I need my pill.
No, it's okay. It's okay, darling. Here you are, dear.
Thank you.
There. Now, just let me set the alarm again.
You must be exhausted.
No, not really. Are you feeling any better?
Yes, a little. I was so tired when you came home, though, we couldn't even talk. And I look forward to our talk so much. Anything interesting happened today?
No, just a lot of routine.
What did you have for lunch?
Lunch, let's see, I just had a sandwich at the desk.
Oh, George, you should go out.
No, dear, no, I shouldn't. But I did. She would drop by 2-3 times a week. And it just became, a thing we did. We were friends, that's all. I knew she was in love with me, but I was discovering something else. Something very unsettling, very disturbing. I was falling in love with her, too. I tried to fight it.
Hop out right here.
Okay.
There. Well, now that we've scared away every fish between here and Europe...
I wouldn't know what to do with a fish if I caught one.
Well, let's just drift for a bit, huh?
You didn't have to say that.
Say what?
Drift. Haven't we been doing just that since the day we met?
Yes, I suppose we have.
What are we going to do, George?
I don't know.
I'm willing to settle.
Settle?
For half a loaf.
Oh, no, that wouldn't work. After a while, you'd get to hate me.
No, George, I wouldn't.
Well, I'd hate myself.
Do you still love her?
No. No, it's a terrible thing, but I don't love her anymore. You know, that happens to people. Just as they can fall in love, they can also fall out of love. It's just that the timing and the circumstances are bad for Margaret and for me.
But if you no longer love her...
Well, how could I ever divorce her? Hey, where are we going?
I don't know. But the one thing I can't do is just to stand still.
Nothing and no one in this world ever really stands still. Wheels are always turning. Gears are shifting. Minds are changing. Perhaps slowly, imperceptibly, subtly. Even a marriage vow contains the seeds of its own dissolution. For it says, until death do us part. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Thank you. More than 75,000 letters, and they're still coming in. I am High Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. You've said such beautiful things like bravo, 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 a breath of fresh air, and superb production. I love you. But there's one problem. So many of you ask questions, it's going to take weeks sorting through all that mail to give you an answer. So if you need a quick reply to a specific question, please write again, and we'll try to answer promptly. Write Mystery Theater, Box 5152, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. That's Mystery Theater, Box 5152, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. And please, do keep listening. We hope Radio Mystery Theater is here to stay.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10.07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI-FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
George Wesley Sanderson is in a motorboat just off Long Island. Beautiful day with a beautiful woman who loves him. And to make it perfect, he also loves her. However, there's a complication. George Wesley Sanderson is married, and he takes his vow seriously.
We'll do something, Sally.
You'll have to do something, George. People don't stand still.
Yes, I know.
You can't freeze a relationship. It grows better every day or it becomes worse. You fall in love because another person has something you need, and sometimes it's the terrible truth. When that person loses what attracted you in the first place, love also goes with it.
I know.
So many people can't face up to it. They're unable to end a thing that really no longer exists.
I love you, Sally.
I love you, George, but I'm human. If I can't have you, sooner or later, I'll face it, and then I'll make other arrangements for my life.
Sally, wait for me.
Oh, I'll wait, George. But I can't promise to wait forever.
Just then I heard another voice. It was a voice I'd never heard before, but there was no mistaking who it could be and what the meaning was.
And do you, George, take Sally for your lawful wedded wife to have and to hold?
Oh, Sally, darling, don't ask me how or when or why.
George, look out. You'll upset the boat.
Who cares, Sally? It's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
You and me, we're going to happen. We're going to be married.
But
no buts. Just believe me.
I believe you, George. I believe you.
Oh, that was good. I was so hungry.
Oh, Margaret, that's a good sign.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I just wish...
What? What do you wish?
Oh, nothing, nothing. I don't want to talk about it. Well, now, you must have had an interesting morning.
Oh, just so-so.
Well, what was it? What did you have to do at the office? You never did tell me.
No, I didn't. Well, we had to take a deposition.
Oh?
And we just spent the morning listening to witnesses. And, Margaret? Margaret?
What? Oh, dear, what is it, George?
Don't close your eyes yet. It's time for your pill. Here, take it down with some juice.
Oh.
You know, that's all we'd have to do, just forget one pill.
Oh, George, darling. Maybe we'd both be better off.
good morning, George.
Here, sir.
Yeah, sit down.
Thank you.
Now, George, I want you to go to Washington. I know you have personal problems.
Yes, sir.
I want you to argue the Stillwell case before the Court of Appeals.
Well, sir,
can win this case for us. You're a natural. Lawyers like you come along once in a generation.
Yes, but Mr. Cartwright...
The trial date is in 6 weeks. Now, I'm sure you can find a way to resolve your problem. You can buy nursing care while you're gone.
Sir, it's more than that.
I'm sure it is. Now, I don't want to intrude in your personal affairs. Although I understand I'm indirectly affected. My daughter, evidently, is quite taken with you. Well, that's between the two of you.
I assure you.
Of what? The two of you are in love. It's a very difficult situation. But it's your situation. For part, I need you for the Stillwell trial in Washington. Now, don't give me your answer right now.
And then I heard a bit of voice. A voice I sang very well because it was my small phone voice. And I hear myself say,
if it
evades
the court, the prosecution should play defendant Adam Stillwell has committed the crime of high treason against the government of the United States.
George?
Mm-hmm.
George!
Oh, what?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. What happened? You turned pale. Is everything all right?
Oh, yes, sir. Everything's fine. Just fine. I believe that I will be able to plead the Stillwell case after all.
Has she been taking these pills regularly?
Oh, religiously, Doctor. We have here a tight. You absolutely trust the end of crime. I'm here all night.
He's a tired about Doctor.
Well, he should be.
Doctor, what about Margaret?
Well, for the time since this thing struck, I have good news.
Good news.
I say good. These words are good, bad, are relative.
Yes, but what do you mean by good?
Well, for the first time, take no further signs of deterioration.
I see.
Unless some other complication occurs, Margaret can live on indefinitely. Provided she takes her pills on a regular basis.
Oh, we'll see to that, Doctor. We'll see to that.
Well, keep in touch if anything unusual happens, and I'll be here again next week.
Yes, I'll see you to the door, Doctor.
Goodbye, Margaret.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Oh, a lovely day, isn't it, George?
Yes.
Oh, about those pills, George. Make sure you never run good. Well, for the first one, never run good hours.
That's what his speaking voice was saying to me. The amenities knitting there. Don't forget her pip get her pills. Another voice. It's in his voice. And I don't hear it so clearly. Well, plainly.
Poor Keith. I'm glad I don't have to decide. She's in such terrible pain. Constantly. Well, since it's between one of them, or maybe it's up to him. I only know I wouldn't want to be in his shoes for all of the money in the world.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Doctor, and thank you for everything.
George?
Yes, dear.
I'd like a pillow.
Yes, dear, I'm coming. Here we are. Now, does that feel more comfortable?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Margaret, look at me.
I'm looking at you, darling.
I wanted to hear her voice. Not her speaking voice, but her thinking voice, her feeling voice, the way I'd heard it once before. But this ability, this gift, this talent, call it what you will, doesn't work at my command. It comes and goes of its own accord. I wanted to know how she felt, what she really wished for. If a certain decision was to be made, I wanted her to share in it. But try as I might, I simply couldn't hear her inner voice. And I knew that the decision, one way or another, would have to be mine. All mine, mine alone.
I'm looking at you, darling.
Margaret, are you in pain?
Oh, doesn't matter, really. The pill takes care of it. Oh, it's such a miraculous pill. It takes care of everything. Oh, I think I'd better sleep for a while, George. I just want to sleep.
Margaret, what do you mean? Please tell me, what do you mean by sleep? Margaret? Oh, I'll get that. Hello?
George?
Oh, yes, Mr. Cartwright.
Hey, can you arrange to fly to Washington a week from Friday?
A week from Friday?
Yes, for a pre-trial on the Stillwell case.
Well, sir, I hadn't expected...
Well, you told me just yesterday in the office that you'd handle it.
Well, yes, sir, but that was because I thought I had six more weeks.
Well, you do. This'll just involve you down there for a day or two this time.
I understand.
I'll have Miss Gordon-Norton book your flight.
Well, a week from Friday, that's about 10 days, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll have all the papers for you at the office tomorrow. And I'm taking you off everything else. Just remember, we want this case.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, sir.
George?
Oh, darling, I thought you were asleep.
The ringing of the phone woke me. I thought it was the alarm for my pill.
Oh, no, we still have another hour for that.
Now, what's supposed to happen a week from Friday?
Just a lunch date with Mr. Cartwright and a client.
He must like you a lot, doesn't he?
Well, I'm not really a bad lawyer.
Oh, George, I wish I could be of help to you. I wish there was something I could do.
I'm George.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry I'm late.
Dad tells me how busy you are. I ordered you your extra dry gimlet.
Thanks. I could use it.
Dad also tells me you're going to Washington.
Yes. That is, I think so.
You think so? I understand the plans are all set.
Well, the fact is, I know I'll be going, but...
But what?
Oh, nothing.
Once the trial begins, there's no telling how long it may run. These government things can go on for months.
Yes, I know.
How about
Margaret?
Yes, Margaret.
Let's not talk about Margaret.
But George...
Please.
I said I'd be satisfied with half a loaf.
Right now, I don't want to talk about it.
But George, I'm in...
There are things I must decide.
I want to help
no,
you.
No.
But when people are in love, there should be no barriers. Nothing held back.
Sally, you have a lot to learn about love.
George, I won't be spoken to.
Please, Sally, don't press me. Don't push me, huh? I don't care who you are, how deeply you love. There are certain things I must decide on my own.
George Wesley Sanderson is faced with a decision. And it's a decision a man doesn't make lightly. Nor does he make it every day. Because what George must decide is whether or not to kill his wife. We shall return shortly with Act 3.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick, just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, Bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10:07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI-FM every night instead of Sundays only.
One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
It is 1 minute before 2 in the morning in the apartment of George Wesley Sanderson. An alarm clock is set to go off exactly on the hour. It must awaken George so that he can give his wife, Margaret, a pill. A pill she takes every 2 hours. Without her regular pill, Margaret will die.
George? George, wake up. George?
Wait a minute.
Oh, I was afraid for a minute that the clock wouldn't wake you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was sleeping pretty soundly.
Oh, poor George, you never get any rest.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Here, Dolly, take your pill.
Oh. Thank you, darling. Thank you. And now go back to sleep.
Well, I better reset the alarm.
You're so good to me, George.
There. There it is. I've set it for 4. Good night, darling.
Good night.
I turned to look at her. Her eyes were closed. She was only 28, but her face was lined. Her skin was drawn and flushed, and she looked old. Old. Where was the pert, vivacious Margaret who only a few months before had been bursting with life? Wasn't she as good or as bad as dead already? Wasn't it a mercy to end her suffering? Wasn't her living merely a sham and a pretense? Suppose I would somehow forget to give her the next pill. What would I be ending? And then once again I heard the voices. But these were voices from the past. The recent past.
This firm could use a crackerjack criminal lawyer.
I love you, George. I love you.
We have plans for you.
I'll wait for you, darling. But I can't promise to wait forever.
We're all pleased with your work.
Why hold on to a relationship that no longer exists?
I can't do a thing. I'm absolutely useless. But I want to live. I want to live.
George? George, the alarm. George, wake up. George, it's time for my pill. George, wake up. You must wake up. George?
I heard the alarm, Margaret. I heard it.
George, you must wake up.
Believe me, Margaret, I'm doing it for you.
George. George, I must have my pills. George, wake up.
Oh, believe me, Margaret. Please believe me. It isn't Sally or the job. I admit they both kept me, but I don't want to see you suffer anymore.
Aren't you going to give me my pills? George, let me live. Just a little longer, please.
And I'm so tired, Margaret. So tired.
George! George! Please!
So mixed up.
George, don't pretend to be asleep.
I'm doing it for you, Margaret. Maybe for me, too, but mostly for you.
Oh, George. Darling. I forgive you. I forgive you.
Sit down, George. Sit down.
Now, you didn't have to come into the office today.
Yes, I know, sir, but she's been dead a week, and, well, things go on. I'm due to leave for Washington tomorrow.
Yes, we wondered whether, under the circumstances, to ask for a delay.
Well, there's no point to that, sir. What I need now is lots of work.
Well, we have lots of work around here.
George, I've been trying to reach you to tell you how sorry...
Sally, it's all right.
Now, there is a possibility that you people have something to discuss. Excuse me for a moment.
Well, Sally, here we are.
Yes. How did it happen, George?
Oh, it's something that could have happened at any time. She just fell asleep and she didn't wake up.
And now what, George?
And now, we can be married. That is, if you'll still have me.
Oh, darling.
I have to go to Washington.
I'll go with you. And you know, of course, what Dad's been talking about.
No, actually, I don't.
Well, we're fairly direct people, all of us. Dad was saying that since you and I would be married, there'd be a partnership in the firm as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as we're fairly direct people, I may as well tell you that I deserve it.
Darling, do you know that this is the first time I've ever seen you smile?
Oh, I smile all the time.
You listen to me, George Wesley Sanderson. You're going to live. You're going to travel. You're going to mingle with all the people worth knowing in government, politics, the theater, art.
Wait. Now, when do I work?
Oh, you can work as hard as you like. As long as you remember, you have to play hard, too.
When do we start?
Right now.
That was, 15 years ago. I was 30, she was 25. And the years haven't changed either of us. Well, not very much, anyhow. Life has been full of excitement, zest, and, of course, satisfaction. Because I've won some very well-publicized cases in this talk of a judgeship, but that's all for the future. The important thing is that for almost 15 years, since she died, I haven't heard voices. You know, those voices. Until last week. And it happened when I was alone, in the morning, at breakfast. Isn't it?
May I have my pills, George? My pills. I want to live. My pills.
And I've kept hearing them. I don't know what to make of it, because after all, she did say she's forgiven me. Why should I hear her now? Why? I don't understand it. Why now? In the case of delay versus international power, the precedent is clearly stated. Sally, what are you doing here?
I'm here to tell you about a precedent which is going to be established right now.
Well, I thought you were in London.
I was, and then I decided to come back here for some litigation.
Litigation? With whom?
With you.
Oh? What kind of litigation?
I want to review the basis for our marriage. It is rooted in the factors of common interests. We're both alive, we like to do things, go places. Do you agree?
Sure.
So why aren't we going and doing?
Well,
Well, we what? Do you realize that for the past year you've been working day and night?
Well, darling, it so happens we have some crucial cases.
Do you want our relationship to change permanently? Do you want us to drift apart?
Do you know you're a nut?
Darling, a long time ago we talked about this. Nothing, no one ever stands still. People change, and if they do, so does the basis of their relationship.
All right. We'll go skiing.
Turn your work over to the bright, young, eager beavers and let's you and I start having fun again.
And we did. We traveled, we played, we danced, we enjoyed ourselves. And I even managed to get some good work done, too. We were never so happy. There was, of course, one small, dark cloud for me. I could hear Margaret's voice.
I need my pills, George. Aren't you going to give me my pills? Please?
Penny, for your thoughts, George.
Yeah. Oh, well, you couldn't buy my high-priced thoughts for a penny.
You seem to be in a state of reverie.
I was.
As if you were listening to something.
Oh, must be your imagination.
As if you were listening to voices.
Voices? Are you sure you're all right?
It's positively spooky.
Spooky? Here in our apartment in the bright sunlight? Oh, no, you got to look for your spooks in the dead of night.
Well, I know what we both need.
All right, tell me.
A good hard hour of tennis.
Well, now, darling, I have to be at the office.
You don't have to be anywhere except with me.
Must be your imagination.
As if you were listening to voices.
Voices? Are you sure you're all right?
Positively spooky.
Spooky? Here in our apartment in the bright sunlight? Oh, no, you got to look for your spooks in the dead of night.
Well, I know what... I think I'm going to break your service. Well? George, what's the matter?
It's nothing, dear.
Well, I'm waiting, sir. What is it, George? Is something wrong?
No, I'm fine.
You have a funny look on your face.
Have I?
Are you sure you're all right,
yes,
dear?
Yes, I'm sure. It's just...
Just what?
Oh, it's nothing. I just had this little twinge in my back. But it's gone now. But it wasn't gone. It wasn't much, but it didn't go away. And so that afternoon, instead of going to the office, I went to the doctor.
I can't see anything. Could be a muscle strain. Try a little heat at home. If it persists, we'll give you some physiotherapy.
Doctor, it's nothing serious, would you say?
Well, right now it doesn't look serious.
I looked very hard at the doctor. I tried to listen for another voice. His inner voice. Perhaps a voice he didn't even know he had. The voice I'd heard 15 years before with Margaret, when he predicted. But no, there was nothing. I sighed with relief.
Pour me a cup of black coffee.
Yeah, sure thing.
How's the back this morning?
Oh, fine, just fine.
How about some Janet?
If you'd like.
Sure your back's okay?
I said so, honey.
I found out you'd seen the doctor the other day.
Oh, well, it was just a checkup.
And the back?
Oh, a twinge now and then.
Oh, everybody gets a twinge now and then. Dinner tonight at the Caswells. I better call her. Then we'll try a few sets. Do you love me?
I think so.
I think I love you, too.
She left the room. I was all alone. For a week now, I've been hearing Margaret's voice. But now there wasn't a sound. I listened, but as mysteriously as it had begun. Perhaps it was coming to an end. Maybe I was losing this ear I had for voices. And then I heard it. A voice. It was very indistinct at first, but I recognized it. It was my own voice. But I couldn't believe what it was saying. I didn't want to believe what it was saying.
Sally. Oh, please, Sally. Sally, give me my pills. Please. Sally, I must have my pills. Sally, aren't you going to give me my pills? Sally, don't kill me. I don't want to die. Sally, my pills.
George. George, what's wrong?
Sally, it's my back.
I'll call the doctor.
Yes, Sally, quickly. The pain is terrible. Sally, please. You won't kill me, will you?
What are you talking about?
When the time comes, you won't kill me. You won't, Sally. Or will you? Will you?
Who knows? George and Margaret, that's one story. George and Sally, That's another. Yes, we often think, many of us, how wonderful if we could only hear voices from the future. Voices that could predict our fate. But maybe it's not such a good idea after all. Maybe it's better never to know. I'll be back in a moment.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
What is it, Angel?
Sam, I went down there just like you said, and it was awful, Sam. They told me the trouble with my hair dryer isn't covered by the guarantee. What'll I do without my hair dryer, Sam?
I'll help you.
You're not Sam.
No, I'm from your Better Business Bureau with some good advice about appliance guarantees. Know what the guarantee covers before you buy something.
Sam, did you hear that?
Take it easy, Angel. Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Voices. What are the voices we think we hear in the night? Are they merely dreams, fantasies? Or our own wishes? Or are they real? And why shouldn't they be real? After all, reality is what we think it is, and ever so often, what we want it to be. One reality that you can count on is the absolute fact that we will be back here again with other voices to tell you another tale that will excite and amaze and perhaps cause just a tiny, delicious tingle of terror. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Augusta Dabney, Leon Janney, and Suzanne Grossman. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I want a baby. Get on with whatever you have to do.
First of all, this talisman. You must wear it around your waist. This package contains herbs. A special combination to relax you. That's the secret. To relax.
That's all?
For now. But one thing I must add. On the birth of the child, I will ask you one favor. You must promise to grant it. Take the talisman and the herbs. And don't be alarmed if certain unusual things happen in the next few weeks.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News next on KIXI, Seattle. A weather outlook. Windy with occasional rain tonight, but winds and rain diminishing tomorrow, but rain increasing again tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs near 50, lows in the low 40s. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 46 degrees. The barometer is falling. It reads 29.70. On the passes, chains or studded tires are recommended westbound on Stevens Pass from Ray Rock. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. There's been a new development in connection with some government tape recordings related to the Watergate case.
This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. White House correspondent Dan Rather has the latest on those tapes.
CBS News has learned that the Central Intelligence Agency has destroyed numerous tape recordings considered by some investigators to be vital to unraveling the Watergate and related cases. Recordings secretly made by the CIA. These may have included, investigators believe, recordings secretly made of conversations between ranking CIA officials and the president. At least one senator has been trying to get, under what he had hoped was strict security, the actual CIA recordings, with the argument that such tapes could prove or disprove the CIA's claims that it had extremely limited connection with such events as the Ellsberg psychiatrist break-in and the spiriting away of Dita Beard in the ITT case. The CIA, after considerable prodding, agreed to let the one senator hear the actual tapes, but then came back to say that, unfortunately, all but one of the tapes had been destroyed. The only one still in existence, the CIA reportedly said, was a tape of a conversation between Marine General Robert Cushman, then with the CIA, and Howard Hunt, a member of the burglary team. Dan Rather, CBS News, Washington.
The CIA claims that tapes are routinely destroyed when the agency runs out of storage space. More in a minute.
Sun is shining, things are growing, things are going well with you and me. Future planned together, wishful life together, and things look bright as they can be. We're helping.
Metropolitan Life knows how important the future is to you and your family. We've been preparing hard for the future so that your Metropolitan representative is qualified to help you prepare for it better. Because the better prepared you are, the better your future will be.
The Associated Press reports that Democrats have rejected a Republican offer of $600,000 to settle the Democrats' $6.4 million suit against the committee to re-elect the president. The AP quotes a Democratic source as saying that Democrats told Republican lawyers that the Democratic National Committee alone wants a $1.25 million settlement. The lawsuit asks for damages in connection with the Watergate bugging and break-in. AP says that a lawyer for the re-election committee has declined to comment on the report, saying only that talks on a settlement have been going on since last spring. President Nixon is back in Washington after 5 days at Camp David. White House spokesmen say that Mr. Nixon worked on his State of the Union message, which he is scheduled to deliver to Congress on Wednesday evening. Washington, the scene of so many serious moods lately, had a breath of levity Tuesday night, and Bernard Shaw has the story.
A rare night in the Capitol. Humor chased away seriousness at a dinner sponsored by women of the Washington Press Club. Nelson Rockefeller got off a one-liner about White House plumbers. Vice President Ford said people in that house want to write his speeches, and Speaker Carl Albert quoted the Vice President.
In less than 2 months, he has become his own man. I hope he's going to share with us tonight the proof that shows that the president doesn't even know John Dean. Jerry, when you took your job, you said you were a Ford and not a Lincoln. We're now waiting to see whether you're Henry or Edsel.
Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart drew applause when he said this government will always be a government under law. Bernard Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
We'll have more news after this.
Dining out. Get together with Holiday Inn. Good food, good friends, together.
Harold, I'm cold.
I know, dear. I'll have this fire going in just a minute.
Harold?
Yeah?
Isn't the smoke supposed to go up the chimney?
Yeah.
A fire in the fireplace is one answer to the energy crisis.
But the American Red Cross reminds you to be sure that your chimney and damper are cleaned and in good working order. For other tips on safety, contact your local Red Cross chapter.
I can't breathe, Harold.
While you're about it, ask about first aid courses, too.
Cambodian rebels reportedly burned several houses and killed six civilians Tuesday night on the southern edge of Phnom Penh. The Cambodian military command reports that the rebels were trying to infiltrate the city, but were eventually stopped by government sentries. Earlier in the evening, rebels reportedly shelled a nearby residential area, wounding two children. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI with the time of 6 minutes past 11.
The most beautiful sound around continues now from KIXI, Seattle.